Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kelly Clarkson, and this is Miss Into Podcast.
The Kelly Clarkson Fan Podcast, talking all things, Kelly. And to you.
Here is Jeremy and Pam.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Miss Into Podcast, the Kelly Clarkson Fan Podcast. My name is Pam.
And I'm Jeremy, and it was the episode so nice, we decided to do it twice. It is back. It is our Kelly Clarkson hot takes done by you. These are not mine and Pam's hot takes on the world of Kelly. These are your hot takes. A few weeks ago, we asked for you guys to submit both your positive and your unpopular Kelly Clarkson hot takes, as well as a Kelly confession, if you had one, of something that you've maybe always wanted to say about your particular fandom, but were too afraid to say it publicly because, yes, these are all anonymous. We went through a whole bunch of them in the first hot takes episode and got a great response from that. People loving the hot takes, having some discussions back and forth of some of the hot takes on social media.
Yeah.
And now we're back with a whole bunch more, Pam.
Oh, boy. Drama. No, it's not drama. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion.
Absolutely.
Yes. No, these were really fun because a lot of them we do agree with and a lot of them we don't. So it's just really interesting that like people are kind of holding in a lot of stuff that they've just been too afraid to like admit. It's like, it's okay. Like you're not alone. You're not alone in the world. Apparently a lot of people love Einstein. That's what we learned last episode.
People are monsters.
See, and I'm in the middle here. Which you guys, if you listen to the episode, you know I'm not going to go on my whole spiel. But so just to kind of let you all know, we had three different categories. Thank you to Rob for setting this up because I am incompetent when it comes to Google Forms. Positive hot takes. Something you like or love that others might not agree with. Unpopular hot take. Something you dislike that others might not agree with. They're a little fuzzy. And then KC Confessions. Have us react to something Kelly related that you never admit to publicly. So we're going to bounce around back and forth because I don't like just going down the line. I think it's fun just to kind of pick one at random.
Speaking of Rob, since he was the one who did the work on the Google Forms, we have to call out Rob for a second because a few days ago on our group chat, Rob decided to start some violence, specifically with me and Pam.
Wait.
Because he says, I want to preface this by saying, I love Miss Into Podcast and I love you guys, but there's a new podcast out there for the actor Pedro Pascal and it's called, what is it, Pedro Pascal? Is that what it's called?
We have to look it up before you drop the bomb on everyone. Hold on.
I'm just saying.
Pedro Pascal.
Pedro Pascal.
He wrote this. P.S. I love the name Miss Into Podcast so much, and I love you both, but I just saw a podcast about Pedro Pascal called Pedro Pascal, and I'm sorry, but that's the best podcast name of all time. He chose violence.
He did. If you're a Pedro Pascal fan, look it up. I'm sure it's wonderful. But, I mean, and I don't even want to say that we were first out of the gate with a podcast name pun, but I'm just saying, has Pedro Pascal said out loud the name Pedro Pascal ever? Because I know Kelly Clarkson has said Miss Into Podcast several times. I'm just saying.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know why I brought this up. But
I don't know, but I'm glad you did. I was like, where are you going with this?
Yeah.
I thought it was when I sent a picture of Hearing You Thought Wrong on the Sirius XM channel, and I was freaking out. And then he was like, Pam, I thought you hated it. I'm like, that is Jeremy. I adore this song.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. And maybe you're doing this with your friend group or whatever, but our group chat that we are in with a few other friends and fans, it is littered daily with just photos or screenshots of our various ways that we listen to the Kelly Clarkson Connection on Sirius XM of like just song titles that we can't believe they're playing.
Yeah. Like not the singles, like Cool If We Hear Breakaway, Cool If We Hear Since You've Been Gone. No. It's like, I heard, I Would Have Loved You with Jake Hoot the other day. I was like, what?
I've heard that a couple of times.
Really?
Like we're hearing like Dirty Little Secrets.
Crazy.
And
If I Can't Have You. I heard If I Can't Have You.
I'm trying to think of another song that I heard that I was just like, wow, this is really like, I mean, deep. There's deep cuts and then there's like
I heard
songs.
Queen. Oh, you and I at the same time heard Fake Plastic Trees.
Yes. That was a nice surprise. I enjoyed hearing that.
I heard Queen of the Night yesterday. Like, it's just so fun to hear all these things.
I was walking around the mall because I tend to, you know, like if I'm at the mall, like I was at the mall on Black Friday, and I usually put my headphones in and just kind of, you know, walk around, do my shopping or whatever. And I think that day I heard Trampoline as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I didn't listen to it, but I was looking at like the log after. There's like a website that has like a log of everything played.
Yeah.
And I had just missed Not Today. And I was like,
talking about.
Can you imagine 2023 hearing Not Today on the radio? What?
Yeah. On any kind of radio whatsoever that isn't like your own Spotify or Apple Music.
Seriously. Oh, God. This is the best. This channel is like one of the best things to ever happen to us, guys.
Yeah. And I feel like we're going to talk more in depth about the Sirius channel in the future. So stay tuned for that. But we digress a little bit from the topic at hand. And that is part two of the fan hot takes for Kelly Clarkson. And you said at the beginning of the episode that for the most part, you know, we tended to agree with a lot of the hot takes. I want to start out one with that's maybe a little controversial.
Ooh, let's go.
This is actually going to be a positive. It's under the positive hot takes. I don't know if this is necessarily where it belongs, but I'm going to read it anyway. It says, I like Kelly's singing voice in her heyday more so than now, even though she's better now, technically speaking.
Interesting. I mean, I think a lot of it also probably just like depends on people's preference of like what kinds of like vocals they like. For example, like, I feel like she used to do a lot more of the, like, real, like, Janis Joplin rock and roll kind of voice back in the day. And I love that. And that's what some people's favorite vibe is, more so than, like, the polished, soulful thing that she has going on right now. So, I mean, I don't disagree or agree, but I see where this person's coming from.
See, I disagree with this one. I think that her voice has only gotten better. And maybe it's because they prefaced it with, they like her singing style rather than they like her vocals now or they like how the vocals sound. You know what I mean? Because I personally love her voice now. Her voice has only gotten better. And even to the point where, you know, there was that article that came out where she's sort of knocking around the idea of re-recording some songs with her current vocal sound rather than how it sounded when she was much younger.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think I like it better now, but I like see where this person's coming from just because it is very different. It really is. So I don't know. I don't really have any more coherent thoughts to add to this, this hot take, but like, I do think she's grown. Her voice is so much stronger right now. For me, almost like the old stuff is just like a nice nostalgic thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I can maybe see where this person's coming from.
Right.
Is that what being open-ended is like? Just kidding.
That's fair. Yes. I look at this and I'm just like, I don't know how much I really do agree with that because I don't think too much about how she sang when she was younger and whether or not that's better in any way than it is now, you know? Like, I'm trying to imagine her singing some of the songs that she sings today and whether or not she could actually sing them when she was in her 20s, you know, mid-20s, even early 30s.
And then you can do the vice versa. You can argue that, say, for example, like Since You've Been Gone, where she used to like, or like Hazel Eyes, when she used to really hit those crazy notes, like how you would hear it on the album.
Mm-hmm.
And now she doesn't always hit those notes, but it still sounds great. It's just she found a different way to sing it that's better for her voice. Yeah. So she was able to hit all those crazy notes back in, you know, 2005. But I think it also was like kind of taking its toll on her.
Sure.
So
I get that.
I don't know. It's a complicated statement.
All right. Cool. All right, your turn, Pam.
Oh gosh. So this person for a Casey confession wrote, "I don't understand how My December is some people's favorite album, although I can't really judge considering my piece by piece take." I don't know what your piece by piece take was. Oh, I think yours was Piece by Piece is Kelly's second best album. Okay. So My December is not my favorite album, but I think, I don't want to speak for people, but I know for me with the songs that, like the songs that I absolutely adore on it, I think it's really resonated with people because of it's, you know, she wrote on every single song and it was so personal. And we all kind of knew, we obviously didn't know all the stories behind everything, but we knew that there was a lot of drama going on behind the scenes that inspired a lot of these songs. So I think lyrically, a lot of people gravitate towards it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why a lot of people consider it their favorites.
Yeah. I mean, I've been on record with all of my thoughts about My December. And I mean, quite honestly, it's another one of those situations where depending on the day you ask me, I'm going to feel differently about it. And there was another, and maybe I'll blend this in with another unpopular hot take that somebody put out there saying that they didn't think that My December's sound aged well. They said that the lyrics still held up, but they would love a re-recording with new production, which same. Yeah, My December is just one of those weird albums. And I think it's because I can't get over the production value of the album. And I feel like if it were produced better and sounded differently, but all the same songs, all the same lyric deliveries. I mean, even if like they wanted to go back and keep all the vocals and redo everything else, I think I might feel differently about the album.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like we're going to have more thoughts. I feel like we need to like go back and revisit My December for some reason. I don't know why. Just recently, I've just had these little thoughts that have been popping up into my head. And I'm like, oh, I should write that down because we need to talk about that on the podcast. There's something about My December that needs to be revisited. And I'm not 100% sure why I feel this way, but it's just been sticking out there in my mind. So anyway, we'll move on from that. And we'll, I'm sure, revisit My December conversations in the future. All right. This is another Kelly unpopular hot take. Something that you dislike that others might not disagree or might not agree with. The Kelly Clarkson Show doesn't have enough musical guests. Late night shows have a musical guest every night, but Kelly doesn't seem to book all that many musicians, and they rarely perform their music. They do have a few pre-tapes some artists send in, but it's not the same as having them in studio. She should book successful songwriters for songs and stories too. I get this, but I don't necessarily agree with it. I love musical performances, don't get me wrong, but I don't think you can compare Kelly's show to a late night show because she's not a late night show. She doesn't come out and do a monologue. She's not like a comedy show. She is more of a variety show. And yes, variety shows absolutely historically have always included some sort of musical performance. And technically, with Kelly Oki, there is a musical performance at every single show, but daytime talk shows have just never really been the kind that have a musical guest with every single episode. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, you know, like Mark and Kelly, Kelly and Mark, whatever it is. I feel like they do a good job of having a lot of musical guests. Sometimes they're kind of fringe and you've never heard of them. And then other times, you know, they're somebody pseudo popular. They don't get like the A-list necessarily on their show. I don't mind that there's not a lot of musical guests. And I understood why they did the whole like sending in stuff because obviously during pandemic, it was just easier.
One of my clients, my old clients did they sent in like a video of like a edited performance. So it's a nice way to get like exposure.
It was just easier and safer for all the people involved to just do it that way. It still got broadcast. It may not have been in the studio and you may not get any interaction with Kelly, but nonetheless, it was still put on the show. But I like Songs and Stories because I feel like, first of all, it gives her a longer form platform to talk to the artist. You know, it's one thing for an artist to come out there, sing one song, and then they're done. Kelly comes out there, holds up their record, and is like, oh, this is in stores now. Go get it. That doesn't do much for me. You know, I can go on YouTube and watch them perform live if I really want to see them perform live. But I like the Songs and Stories where she just sits down and lets the music breathe a little bit. Even though my one sort of issue with Songs and Stories is that they don't give the time to perform the whole song. It's very much like an artist comes on and does Kelly-oke, you know, like they come on and do 90-second versions of their songs and that's all there is to it.
I know like Ellen did it quite a bit. And like, yes, like the late night shows, yeah, like they'll have like the band and like they'll have like their, like, you know, Jimmy Fallon has the Roots. And then he also has like most nights a musical guest. But I feel like this is different for Kelly because she is performing with the band every day. So that's already some, and they already have to like learn all that. I don't know if there's also like, I can't speak for LA, but I don't think in the New York studio, there's like a ton of room for like another band setup. So mm-hmm. if like, I don't know, say like, I don't know, the Killers wanted to perform. I don't know why I just said that, but like, I don't know if there's room for like a full other band. And that's like a lot to ask of my band, y'all, to learn other stuff. So like, I agree, I would love more musical guests, but I just don't know the logistics behind it.
Yeah, I feel like if they were going to have a band perform, having now seen how things sort of work at 30 Rock with a show taping, I feel like they would almost have to record the band performance first so that they could clear off the stage and then have everything set for when my band, y'all, is there, you know, doing the ins and the outs and for when they do Kelly-oke. So, because it's going to take way too much time to actually bring out a full setup for a band. Instead, they could probably have people doing it while they were in between tapings. And that way, you know, it's all set up to go for like, say, the afternoon taping and they can get it done really quick. And then they can drag it all off, you know, off stage pretty quickly after that. Kind of like when we were, again, at our taping a few weeks ago and they had that whole segment where there were Christmas trees all over the set. They had to be able to send those away so that they could make room for everything else that goes on the stage. And that's obviously what they did. So they filmed that segment first, even though it didn't show up until well within the actual episode itself.
Yeah.
But yes, I wouldn't mind if there were some more musical performances. I get why there's not. But my thing is, like, I kind of want a little bit more out of the Songs and Stories episodes. You know, we don't have to necessarily have, you know, 8 or 9 performances during the episode. If you have, you know, 5 or 6 and they get to be full length songs, that would be great. It doesn't necessarily have to always be the artist and Kelly sitting in chairs on the set. You know, they could be, you know, with the artist's band right behind them and, you know, Kelly stands there while they sing and then she comes in and does her, you know, sort of accompanying parts. I think there's room to grow with the Songs and Stories segment. But as far as like daily, everyday musical guests, I don't know. And who knows? There could be other reasons that we don't even know as to why there aren't more musical guests.
I will say this is super fuzzy. So like, please take everything I say with a grain of salt. I remember one of my clients a couple years ago was performing on Jimmy Fallon and they performed like a full song. And there was something like, I don't know if like the show has to pay a fee in order to get the clearance to do the full song. And that's why Kelly only does like a 90-second thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas when she does an original, she can do the whole thing because it's her own song. So I think there might be some like publishing stuff involved as well.
Yeah.
I don't know for certain, and I don't know what the deal is with, like, because I don't think it's the same rules when it comes to, like, submitted videos. Like, when, like, a band submits a video and they play it, like, oh, let's go to, you know, the tape or whatever. That's different. But in studio, there's something fuzzy there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's just a lot of red tape.
Yeah, and you're probably right. I'm sure there's something there with clearances and rights and publishing and all that.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I would love more of songs, but it's a really just a messy situation when it comes to music publishing. I'll just say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. It's really fun. That's the thing I liked least about my last job. I never really understood it, and I don't really want to. Anyway, Let's move on. Okay, here we go. I dislike when Kelly doesn't refer to a moment like this as her first single or rarely performs it. I know it wasn't created for her or written by her, but it was a special moment and number one. You know, I agree with this.
Interesting.
Because I get that Miss Independent was her first, like, single as, like, Kelly Clarkson, the artist. I get that. But a moment like this was her first single as an artist itself. Like, she's a famous person. She's a famous musician. And, like, that's her first, like, cred. And it was massive. It was huge. Everyone knows mm-hmm. the song. So, I mean, again, yeah, like, I get what this person's saying because, like, I know she doesn't love it. She's gotten better over the years. Like, she obviously performed it on the Meaning of Life tour every night. She performed it once in Vegas. I know for years she just refused to sing it at all, but
yeah,
I agree with this person. It was her first, song, and it was the thing that really introduced the world to her as a recording artist.
Yeah, and I even caught this listening to the Kelly Clarkson Connection on Sirius, where she has a small piece of a vignette, if you will, that plays before Miss Independent. And she talks about how much she loves Miss Independent because it's her first single. And I keep thinking to myself, I'm like, well, technically this is, you know, the second or third song really that you had out because, yeah. I mean, I understand that, you know, Before Your Love, I don't know if we've ever really, we don't talk much about Before Your Love, but I don't know how much that was given, like, actual single status.
I mean, it had a music video and it had a video. What was the thing on MTV? Making the video?
Yeah.
It had its own thing for that. So I think it didn't do as well, but I think they pushed it a bit.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, there's something there with the A and B side of her American Idol songs. When it comes to a moment like this, I do consider that her first single.
Yeah.
You know, it broke records on the charts and it was a legitimate radio hit. It was an MTV hit. But, and maybe if you listen closer to her thing that airs before the Miss Independent song, she does clarify a little bit, like, it was her first, I can't remember exactly what she says, but she clarifies it in a way that you could say that she's not saying it's her first ever song, but that's, like, her first song that she wrote on, I think she might mention.
Maybe. I don't know.
So I don't know if maybe that has something to do with it. But yeah, she does sort of, I don't want to say she hides away a moment like this. I appreciate that she still gives it some love. And like you said, Pam, like, she has been doing a better job of that as of late, at least of the last 5 years or so.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to remember, like, was it Inside Your Heaven? Is that what Carrie Underwood's first song was?
Yes.
I mean, yes. I don't get me wrong. Like, I go to Carrie Underwood shows, but, like, she doesn't perform that anymore. And I haven't done the proper legwork. I'm just bringing this up off the top of my head. But, like, I don't know the last time she performed that song. And I don't know if her fans have the same affinity to that song like we do with a moment like this. But maybe it's just one of those things where it's like, look, that song is 20 plus years old. And people don't maybe necessarily have the same attachment to it that they would like a Miss Independent, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. I never really thought about it that way.
All right, my turn here, and this might be a little bit of a controversial one, and I don't know if I want to go really long on this one because this sort of is gets into the uncomfortable area that we generally don't talk about here on the podcast. But considering the fact that a fan put this into the hot takes, I want to bring it up.
Okay.
This says a positive hot take. It says everyone acts like we aren't supposed to talk about her current weight. She got so much hate for getting heavier, so I have zero problem giving her compliments for how she looks now, which is fire. Yes, yeah. we generally don't delve into this kind of stuff. I mean, look, every single fan has noticed that at the beginning of this season of the Kelly Clarkson show, she is noticeably, her body is noticeably changed.
Yeah.
We saw it definitely from the difference between the Belasco show. She looked, I think we noticed it when she, between Belasco and Vegas.
Vegas, I didn't notice it too much, but the Today show, in person, I was like, what? Yeah.
It was because there was a noticeable difference between Belasco and Vegas.
Yeah.
And a good way to, because I know not everybody was at Belasco, but I know you can go on and you can look up the videos on YouTube. And also if you watched Barmageddon a few weeks ago, we pretty much figured out that Kelly filmed that about a week or so after the Belasco show.
Yeah.
And there was a difference between the way she looked. There's a clear difference between the way she looks now and the way she looks on Barmageddon. So you can tell that that was filmed a while ago. But we did notice in Vegas that she looked a lot better. And she had mentioned that she had hired a trainer. And, you know, now that she had moved to New York, she was walking around a lot more. But there was a significantly noticeable difference between Vegas and, I'll even say, like, the Today Show performance / the season premiere of the Kelly Clarkson show. And the reasons for why she's now looking the way she is, I don't care. I honestly don't care. It's none of our business. It's not any of our concern. She doesn't have to explain anything.
Nope.
All I care about is if she's happy and if she's feeling good, great. I mean, some of us have sort of coined this her revenge era because, I mean, homegirl is looking incredible. But at the same time, like, if you would have asked me the day after the Belasco show, I'd have been like, oh my God, she looked incredible. She looked great. I always think that about her.
Yeah.
So I don't care what size clothes she's wearing. I don't care what her routine or her regiment is to get to where she is today. I really don't care. I don't think there's a reason to obsess about it. If she wants to talk about it, she will. But otherwise, as long as she's happy in her life, that's all that matters to me.
Yeah, I agree. Even at Thanksgiving, I had one of my family members ask me, as if I know everything about this woman, was like, oh, like, do those pills that Kelly's endorsing actually work? And I'm like, oh no, you're one of those who thinks that's real. She's like, wait, it's not. I'm like, no, it's a Photoshop picture, Photoshop video of her, like edited video. Like, those are not legitimate ads. So guys, if you see those like pills that quote Kelly claims to be promoting on your social media feed, please report it and do not believe it.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I also just want to point out, this is not really the same thing, but I just want to point out that, like, I'm obsessed with this season's outfits. She's been in the leather and the blazers, and I am living for it. I don't care what weight she is, but the outfits, chef's kiss. Chef's kiss. So, but yes, I agree with everything that you said. Like, as long as she's healthy and happy, I don't really care how she looks.
Like I said at the top of this, you know, this is generally an area that we don't talk all that much about just because, you know, we're more focused on the substance of her career. So her music, her television, you know, the things that she does for a job and not like her appearance or her private life. So it's a little out of character for us to talk about this kind of thing. But I wanted to bring it up because somebody else did, and we don't want to act like we're ducking some of these questions.
Yeah, and like, you know, I'm not going to say that, like, we've, you know, Jeremy and I have never spoken about it. Like, of course, in our group chat, we've spoken about it, but we are not going to post about it. I don't know. Like, I just feel like I'm a little extra cautious because I know people no matter if they're bigger or they're smaller, like just commenting on people's weights in general, even if like, oh my God, you look so good. Like you don't know what the backstory is. Like, you know, I just always think it's a good idea to just keep it to yourself, not post it publicly, just because you never know what, you know, maybe there's some health issues going on with someone. Maybe, you know, they're not eating. I'm not saying that this is Kelly. I'm just saying in general, it's just a good rule of thumb to kind of just like, and I've learned this recently, just to kind of keep it to yourself. Just be like, instead of being like, oh, you look so good. Like, you look really happy. You look healthy. You look whatever. Not, oh, you look so super skinny. Like, that's not, well, you shouldn't say that.
And I should also mention that we had a separate person give an unpopular hot take that said, I dislike mentions of weight at all. Why bring it up?
Yeah.
People can be beautiful at a wide range of weights, so it's more about health. And same thing, yeah, some people think that it's relevant to talk about it, other people don't. And you, it's up to you as to whether or not you decide that you want to present that to the world, that this is something that matters to you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, just going to say that. Let's move on.
Yes.
I have an interesting Casey confession here. Well, it's not mine, but someone wrote, I was unable to exclusively listen to Kelly's music for a recent 5-hour drive. I mean, this didn't happen to me, but like, I don't think I would listen to her music for 5 hours straight on a road trip. And I think for me, that's just because I like so many different kinds of things that, and I also like possibly may have undiagnosed ADHD. I need to just like, I need to flip flop. I need to go from my like, I can go listen to a lot of Kelly, but then I want to go into like, I don't know, like some One Hit Wonders from the 90s and then go into like Nine Inch Nails and then play Usher. You know, like I want to go like kind of all over the place. Not to say I can't like listen to her for 5 hours, but like I like so much music that I would want to vary it up, kind of like her station. So I don't think that makes anyone a bad fan for not being able to sit down for 5 hours straight to listen to her music. I think that's completely normal. And if you do listen for 5 hours, that's amazing, but like it's fine if you don't.
I've had those road trips because living in the Midwest, and when Kelly would be touring and she would visit some of the cities that surrounded me, I would have a 3-4-5 hour drive to get to wherever I was going. And there were some of those trips where I exclusively listened to Kelly's music and nothing else. And that was fine because that was the mindset that I was in. But nowadays, if I were to do that, if I take a road trip, I don't necessarily want to listen to nothing but Kelly. Will I listen to some of her? Absolutely. But also, I've got other interests that I want to listen to, podcasts that, you know, will keep me engaged and interested. And, you know, I might be in the middle of a really good audiobook that I've been listening to, and maybe I'm going to listen to that for a few hours. And I'm like, Pam, you know, I'm very diverse in my musical taste. So maybe I do want to listen to nothing but 90s music for a while. And then I want to listen to, you know, contemporary music or country or whatever. So it's not bad that you shouldn't always be expected to exclusively listen to her music. Like if you were to hang out with either one of us and we got into a car, don't be surprised if Kelly is not the thing we put on, because that's not necessarily who we are. I mean, yes, we're very big fans, but we also exist in other spheres outside of a Kelly Clarkson world where it's only about her music. Now,
surprise!
Again, if the moment strikes that that's what we want to listen to, or if it's sort of the vibe of what we're going for that we want to specifically be listening to her music, absolutely, we'll be able to do it for hours on end. But nobody should be expected, if you're a massive fan of her, that you listen to her for 5 straight hours in this example.
God, would you get through her entire... I guess you could, because each album's, but like, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, in the early days, like when I drove from my hometown to Chicago, I mean, that's a 6-hour drive when I drove there to go to the Hazel Eyes tour.
Yeah.
And I had two albums to listen to, and that's it.
Yep.
So I listened to those two records on repeat. I probably got through them each 3 times.
Oh God.
So yeah, in the early days, it was a little rough. Yeah, when you wanted
pickings.
To listen. Yeah, when you wanted to listen to nothing but Kelly, you know, and maybe if you were lucky back in those days and you had, you know, an MP3 player or something you could connect to your car and you had, you know, some bootleg Idol performances or maybe you had some bootlegs from the Independent tour or, mm-hmm. you know, the first leg of the Breakaway tour, you could listen to some of those. Sure. Then you got a little bit extra. But outside of that, there wasn't much to choose from. Nowadays, yeah you could do a 5-hour road trip and not repeat a song, which is great. But nobody's expecting everyone to have to do that if you are a massive Kelly fan.
Yup. All right, your turn.
Okay. Here, I want to do another Casey confession because I've been light on those. All right, this one says, I'm kind of an open book, but I guess I wish Breakaway had been the debut. Miss Independent can go on Breakaway and everything else from Thankful can be unreleased songs for all I care, to be honest. What if? What if we lived in that world where Breakaway was her debut album that also included Miss Independent, but everything else was unreleased?
I think My December would have been the sophomore slump, and then we would not have the career that she has today.
Interesting. Very interesting.
I think her sophomore album had to be super successful, and thank God it was, as was the debut, in order for her to have some sort of like longevity. Not that she doesn't have the talent or deserves it, it's just the industry.
Yeah, I think if you put Miss Independent on Breakaway, it makes that album even bigger, and maybe it sells another additional 1 million or 2 million copies, especially if you keep the time frame the same. So Breakaway still comes out in November of 2004. It's still a massive hit album, but now it's got another huge song. Now you've got an album with what, 6 massive singles on it?
7?
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
6, 7? Yeah, it's insane.
But I think that, you know, I would miss songs like The Trouble With Love Is and Low. I would miss those songs, you know? What do you do then with Beautiful Disaster that's on Breakaway? Do you remove that to add Miss Independent? Because technically then Beautiful Disaster is an unreleased song.
Ooh.
Or do you have to put the original version of Beautiful Disaster on Breakaway? I don't know. I mean, we're probably getting more into the weeds than this commenter even wanted to go, but I totally agree with you. She had to have a really big second album to establish her career. The fact that Breakaway was so successful as a sophomore album is what allowed Kelly to make My December.
Yep.
Because when you get the record label involved like they were and Clive Davis involved, she does not have the same kind of leverage to make the album she made in My December if that was her second album. She would have been forced to do more like what happened with Breakaway.
Yeah. Yeah. So interesting take.
Yeah. That's one of those weird kind of like in a different alternate universe.
Yes.
You know, what would happen?
We
did. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a year or so ago.
Yeah.
This is like kind of going off of that, but not really. This is a positive hot take. I love the Thankful version of Beautiful Disaster. It was always my favorite song from the album. Yes, the vocal isn't the best, but it walks so the piano version could run. Interesting. Interesting. I've been very vocal that I really don't like this version. And by really don't like it's fine. Like I'll listen to it because it's Kelly, but like it's definitely like the bottom of the bottom for me. Because the vocals I don't think are very good. But I remember, I don't know if it was like back in the day, like a YouTube, an iTunes free song. I don't know, but I had so many friends that were very casual fans and everyone had this on their iPods. And I'm like, why do you have the like a really like a bizarre album track as on your iPod? But they always had this one and I never understood why. So I guess a lot of people really like it, but it is true that if this version didn't exist, we may not have the live version, which is incredible. So good. So I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I still do like both versions. I'm normally not very vocal about my enjoyment for the Thankful version of Beautiful Disaster, but I still like it fine. I agree that I do enjoy the live piano version more, but I still have love for the original version. This kind of feels like the same debate that we have with Piece by Piece, only I feel like there are more people who defend the album version of Piece by Piece than there are people who defend the original Beautiful Disaster.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a differing kind of fan or just because it was from the first album kind of a thing. I don't know why that is, that people are more passionate about the Piece by Pieces, but I still do and still can't appreciate the original version of the song. I don't skip it when it comes on. I will listen to it, but I don't seek out either version of the song. And maybe that's just because I'm still living in more of a more contemporary Kelly world where I'm more likely to pick songs from Piece by Piece and forward than I am anything earlier on. And that includes All I Ever Wanted and Breakaway. I'm more likely to listen to newer songs just because I've already got hundreds of spins of those earlier songs under my belt.
Yeah.
I'm still, still loving a lot of the more newer Kelly stuff. And even, considering that Piece by Piece is not that new of a record, it's still, one that I still revisit more often than something like My December or Thankful.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Absolutely. All right, your turn.
Okay. Still a ton of these that we have not done. All right, here's one. You Love Me is super overrated by the Bass.
Really? I don't think it's... I mean...
You think it's overrated?
No. But, I know it's definitely, a fan favorite from the album, and I know people were, really loving it at the time, but I don't feel like it's something that we're constantly hearing about now. I really enjoy the song. I wouldn't say it's, a top 20 for me, but I really like it. Love the Smokestack version. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like I don't know anyone who said it's their favorite song off of Stronger, but I could be totally wrong.
Yeah. I mean, look, at the end of the day, it was an album track from Stronger. Is it a good song? Absolutely. It's a great song. I love it. But this obviously, this is a personal preference by a person who, they don't want to come out publicly and say, hey, look, this song is mid at best. And I get that. I mean, look, it's directly followed by one of my least favorite Kelly songs of all time. So maybe it suffers from proximity. I don't know.
Suffers from proximity. That's funny.
I'm just saying, you don't see a lot of people talking about how much they love standing in front of you. Maybe it's because it's the song that's the palate cleanser to Einstein. I don't know. I'm just being me. But I would have to poll the entire fan base. Tell us where you think you are with You Love Me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it makes the top 50% of her songs, honestly. It's a good song.
Yeah.
Does it make, let's say we had to rate, and ignore live versions and demos. I mean, just released songs from albums. If you were to rate every single one of them from number one to 100, whatever, does You Love Me fall in the top 50%?
It might, but it's going to be close to the 50%.
Yeah.
I agree. It's going to be close to the bottom of that.
I think it's just under 50%.
Yeah. Mine could be there. So yeah, I really like it a lot, but I don't know. I don't necessarily agree that I don't necessarily think it's an overrated song. I don't think people are obsessed over it that much, unless they do, and I'm oblivious.
Yeah, unless there's a faction of people out there who are big defenders of You Love Me and are keeping the fires lit for that particular song. I don't know if I've ever seen someone who has a particularly strong opinion about that song. And maybe if I go back and I re-listen to our Stronger breakdown and, we seem to have strong opinions.
What did we say?
Because I know we both like it.
Yeah.
But maybe we came across a little too strong and gave the impression that the fan base is really, behind this song. But at the same time, I would have been very happy if it was one of the KC classics that got played in Vegas.
Yes.
And I would be fine if it showed up as a KC classic karaoke.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's an it's under unpopular, but I don't know how unpopular this is. Someone said that they're bored with the blonde, especially with the bangs. It's time for the return of brunette, Kelly. Chelsea and I are so obsessed with her brunette hair. It's insane. And I mean, maybe because I have brunette, I am a brunette. I don't know. Her hair from, this is very like from the archives, the Daytona 500 in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
That hair is my favorite thing ever.
That was like really like bangs too.
Well, that was like side bangs and long straight hair, or like the Miss Independent music video hair. Either one of those two are my absolute favorites. And if she were to do that again, I would be obsessed with it. So
I do like the Miss Independent video hair.
So good. So like, I don't think that's an unpopular take. I support it. I fully support it. I know people who would support it. I don't necessarily think she should go back to the red. It's not my preference. But brunette, hell yeah.
I don't know if I can see red on her. I mean, maybe again at some point. But I'm almost wondering if I don't even know if I want to make that statement.
What?
Because I was going to say, like, she's never been one to, like, really change her hair color a lot. I mean, yes, she's changed it a lot, but also we're looking at it from 20 years of perspective. And yes, she changes it, but she doesn't change it from, like, I don't know, month to month or, you know, she doesn't change it, like, every 6 months. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like for the first 10 years, she did change it quite a bit.
She did.
She really did. Yes. And then the last, I don't know, 11, 12 years have been different variations of blonde.
Yeah.
Versus like highlights. Yeah.
Yeah. The most drastic change, really, the last drastic change was the Piece by Piece era. And that was
still blonde. It was just the shaved head.
Yeah. She had the shaved side, which was of a moment in time. But she really hasn't done anything too crazy drastic since then. I mean, she's done extensions. She has done, you know, different styles.
She has now cut her bangs at 3 o'clock in the morning while on Mucinex.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, honestly, the bangs are probably the most drastic change that she's made in a while.
Yeah.
Which maybe is the reason why people have opinions on them.
Yeah, but I support brunette. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but like I would love that.
I don't mind the brunette Kelly at all whatsoever. I mean, I honestly don't. I've never the Piece by Piece hairdo is like the only one that I was ever just like, that's a choice. But outside of that, I've never had a problem with any of her hair choices. Even going back to the weird streaks in her hair during Idol / the Thankful era.
Of the times.
Exactly.
It was of the times. And like, I support it. I mean, if she did it now, I'd be like, maybe not. But yeah, I agree mostly.
This one is under KC Confessions. And I tend to I might agree with this.
Ooh.
And maybe it's going to be unpopular that I agree with this. This says, barring something extraordinary, Kelly's done having hits and platinum selling albums. And while there are strategies to maximize her sales and musical exposure to be the best it can be, her fans need to accept that and just enjoy the music.
You and I have spoken about this many times.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. I do. And I just don't, think that like, I don't want to speak for her, but it doesn't seem like her main priority these days is selling millions and millions and millions of albums. It's releasing music that she likes and having the fans hear it and touring or Vegas and the talk show and just like being content, not being number one.
Yes. I think now she's proven herself. She has nothing left to prove to anybody. She doesn't care about awards. You know, she's not specifically going out and trying to win awards. She's not trying to have these massive selling albums. She's not trying to do anything with the charts. Her label's job is to, you know, make the product as successful as possible and promote it and do all the things. But at the same time, I think that the reason why Kelly is with Atlantic is because of many more deeper conversations than what we have been ever privy to. And I think it's because she wanted to go with Atlantic because they were going to let her be the kind of artist she wants to be. And that is to not be someone who is counting every single album sale when an album goes out, or, you know, not worrying so much about how a single or a song is charting at radio. Because I think Kelly recognizes where she is in her career, who she is as an artist, and where she fits on the spectrum of music today. And I know that, and even sometimes it came through with us, I know how frustrated people were in the midst of the chemistry era, which we are still in the midst of the chemistry era. They were so frustrated about the lack of promotion for singles, and they weren't releasing singles fast enough, or, you know, we weren't getting enough airplay on radio, or, you know, there's no music videos were being made. So that's a bummer. I understand that, but you have to remember that it's not all on Atlantic Records. Kelly has a say in everything.
Whereas she probably didn't have a lot of say with RCA.
Right. And so, and you have to remember that, you know, and I don't want to go on a tangent on this, but like things like music videos, who do you think pays for those? It's not the record label. The artists, for the most part, pay for their videos.
Well, it's more the label will pay for a lot of the stuff up front, and then the artist is responsible for recouping that in sales and touring. So it's a little fuzzy, but
At the end of the day, the artist is paying for it. They have to pay somebody back.
Yeah.
And so Kelly is going to make the decision herself as to whether or not she wants to, again, she even said this about Belasco. She's like, I could have made a couple of really expensive music videos for the songs on this record, or I could have this really cool intimate concert experience with fans, and we can release YouTube videos, which are significantly cheaper to put out.
Yeah.
You know, I could do it that way and probably get just as much play, because YouTube is the MTV of now. Like, that's where videos are getting played, is on MTV, and it's an on-demand world. And so you're not going to get a big rotation like you would on MTV, and there's not going to be a daily countdown show that's playing your videos and giving you exposure like it was back in the mid-2000s. So I agree with this. I think that Kelly's priorities have changed. If she was really super concerned about having big hits on the radio and selling millions of albums, she wouldn't have made or released Chemistry. I'll say that.
Oh, yeah.
Because Chemistry as a whole, now that we've had time to like live with it, it's not a super radio-friendly, single-friendly album. But it is a wonderful project as a whole. It tells a story. It takes you on a journey as a whole project, not as like little pieces here and there. I mean, yes, you can find songs to release as singles. That's great. But I think it's more looked at as a project as a whole rather than a bunch of really, you know, catchy singles.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's like, the thing is that there's no right or wrong answer to this. Like, everyone's going to have their opinion, but yeah, it's all about perspective and being realistic a lot of times.
I know everybody wants to, you know, be the fan of the most popular thing in the world, and you want Kelly to be super successful.
Yeah.
But we can't measure success for Kelly. Kelly measures success for herself, and I guarantee you it is a vastly different level than we expect. She knows she's successful. She's successful with everything she does. The fact that she even said herself, the fact that she was even able to release this album at all was a success. So the fact that it doesn't, you know, hit number one and have all these massive songs, that's us wishing for that. And that's great, but that's not how she's measuring the success of this album.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I'm going to take an unpopular take.
Okay.
This says 90% of her merch is heinous. Wow. I mean, okay. I do think that I'm not in love with a lot of her merch over the last couple of years. I think back in the heyday, you know, Breakaway, Thankful era, I think that merch was wonderful. I think like My December through Piece by Piece has been kind of not great. Media Life Tour had some okay merch. And I think they kind of started redeeming themselves, in my opinion, for Vegas. Like, Vegas had some really awesome merch. Mm-hmm. What I do think sucks is whatever they have online. Because, like, I don't know. Usually, I mean, granted, I don't know what the sales are, but usually, like, whenever an artist tours and they have a leftover stock, it immediately goes on the artist's website so they can just sell it off.
Yep.
That never happens with Kelly. I guess they're like adding a few, maybe they've added one or two things from Vegas, but I don't know. It's kind of a missed opportunity. And I don't know. I do love a lot of the Vegas merch. Like, I love that tie-dye sweater. I love the cartoon Viva Las Vegas kind of vibe shirt. But like, if you go on her website, you know, they sold like a Christmas crop top. Like, who's wearing a crop top in December? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. But so I don't disagree. I think it's getting better though. But yeah, her team does not win the award for best merch.
Yes, I will agree with this as well. And I think that some of this can be resolved very easily. And that is with especially with tours and with, even if it were just residencies from here on out, if you can always offer one option that does not have Kelly's face on it, because you and I have been on record, we like one of our favorite shirts that we ever bought, mm-hmm, was that long sleeve Meaning of Life tour date shirt.
Yep.
I still wear that shirt to this day.
Me too.
I'm getting back to the point where I don't fit in it anymore, but that's a problem for your boy. But like, that was one of the best shirts because I love a concert tour date shirt. I love those. And if you can give me an option that doesn't have a photo on it, because, you know, some people just are not artist photo wearing people.
Literally, like, okay, this is going to sound weird, but like sometimes, like if you got big boobs, like their face is going to be a little warped. Like, uh-huh, Melissa Peterman, do you remember that on the Two Worlds, Two Voices tour where she wore, yes, that old school Kelly shirt and it looked ridiculous?
That sure was ridiculous anyway.
It was. But exactly. So it's not going to be flattering to a lot of people.
And I will say that they have done, I mean, like Piece by Piece Tour had a short sleeve shirt that just said Kelly Clarkson Piece by Piece Tour and or World Tour. And then they had the dates on the back.
And they had a tank top as well that didn't have, yes, the dates, but it just had like text on it.
Yes. But that said, even some of the script shirts are not all that great. Case in point, the Christmas Isn't Canceled, like, crew neck shirt that they have in the online store. I can't wear that 11 months out of the year, you know? It would just look weird.
And also, like, I feel like I wouldn't want to wear a shirt that says Christmas Isn't Canceled, Just You. Like, yeah. I love the song and I love, like, the message behind it, but I feel like I wouldn't want to wear, like, a shirt that said that.
Yeah. I mean, there's some cool, I mean, like, I like the Love So Soft logo that they did a while back. That was kind of fun. And I liked the logo. I don't love merch that's made around songs. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, interesting.
So like, I'm not going to buy a Love So Soft shirt. I'm not going to buy a Christmas Isn't Canceled shirt. I would rather buy Kelly merchandise that's like me supporting her so that I don't have to explain to people what my shirt means.
That's a good point. Yeah, like if you go to like, I don't know, a Target and Urban Outfitters, they'll have like a bunch of just like band tees there. And sometimes it's just for like specific albums. Sometimes it's just like, you know, a Whitney Houston t-shirt. So I agree.
Like, I'm looking at the merch store right now. And yes, there is a Red Flag Collector hoodie that doesn't have a picture of Kelly on it. But at the same time, like, first of all, I don't care, again, for merch around songs. And I don't even know. I mean, I haven't really looked closely at it. I don't even think it says, I think it says Kelly's name on the sleeve.
Also,
but like, it's really small. And like, I feel like, first of all, who wants to walk around advertising
exactly that
you're a red flag collector?
That's the thing. Like, why would I adore the song? But yeah, why would I want to wear a shirt that'd be like, hey, Pam is poor judgment, you know? Like, not everyone needs to know that. I mean, maybe I do, but I don't know.
I don't know. I feel, I mean, I hope the person that creates her merch isn't listening, because we're not piling on you.
No, you're a great person. Just maybe make a poll to see what the fans want.
Yeah. I want her to have good merch. I really
I
do. Because I want to support her, because I know that she's supported by, you know, the sales of the merch. But if you give us really good stuff, it's easier to support and buy. Like, I ended up buying a shirt with her picture on it at the Vegas shows.
You did?
I did. Yeah. I got the one that had all the dates on the back, because again, I love tour date shirts, and it was the only option. I don't love the fact that her face is on the front of the shirt, but I was able to be like, okay, whatever, I'll do it. I haven't bought a shirt with her face on it since the Addicted tour.
Oh, wow.
And that was only because I loved the look of the shirt. It was the fact that it had her face on the front, but it had all the dates on the back. After that, I didn't buy another shirt that had like her face or anything on it, because I'm just not a face person. But I'm glad to buy the other merch. I bought posters that have her face, because I would expect you to have your face on a poster. I'm willing to buy the other stuff. But when it comes to what I'm wearing,
yeah,
I don't necessarily want everything to be a picture of her.
Even though she has a beautiful face.
Absolutely.
No, I totally get it. So, yeah, I don't know. We have a lot of thoughts.
Apparently, yeah. We've done an episode about merch, haven't we?
I don't know if we've done an episode on it, but we've definitely done, like, I don't know if it was like a mailbag or whatever. We've definitely spoken about this before.
Maybe, you know what would be fun, and maybe this could be an idea for sometime soon, is, and maybe we bring Robin on this one because he is our fashion correspondent, is to count down like the top 10 best Kelly Clarkson merch items ever.
That's hard though, because where are we going to like find them all? Well, there's no like archive.
Look, like the breakaway era keychain is not making the top 10. Okay. Like, we don't. But
Rob's number one is going to be the Addicted underwear.
Yeah, they absolutely are.
Yeah.
But either way, I don't know. I feel like it's worth noting, because, you know, merch is something that nearly everybody buys, and I feel like we don't talk about it enough. So yeah. I'm glad that we had this conversation here today about merch.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I'll think about that topic idea for maybe 2024.
All right. My last one I'm going to pick here is a positive hot take. And it says, I love that Kelly hasn't had as many duets as fans have wanted. I'm not the biggest fan of all the ones she's already done. Hi, welcome to our club. I'm Jeremy. I'll be your club leader. And you know, the funny thing is that I've gone back and listened to old episodes of the podcast because I'm a narcissist. And I will say that my opinion on duets seems to be a little inconsistent, because in one episode, I vouch for having an actual duets album, a la like what Reba did.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm always like, it's another duet. I don't like this. And I think maybe it was because I got burned out on like the ones that she was doing with The Voice. And so maybe that soured me a little bit.
Yeah.
When it came to duets, because she's had some very big ones and she's had some really great ones. I mean, Don't Rush, a duet that people never think about, is one of my favorites of hers. But also, Vince Gill is so minimalized in that duet,
yeah,
that I don't even necessarily think of it as a duet. I just think of it as a song that has him on the song, but it's maybe not necessarily a duet. So maybe what it is about me is that I don't care so much for duets. I like Kelly featuring somebody else. So maybe they're not the one who's helping to carry the load of the song, but they are there in a supporting role. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I wish she did have some more collaborations, but because I think they have the potential to be really good. Just unfortunately, some of the ones that have been released have not been the strongest. You know, mm-hmm. The first one that comes to mind is like Run, Run, Run. Like Kelly and John Legend, you have such high expectations. And it was like, okay.
Yeah.
But then you go and think about like, I hate to say this, but like, Don't You Want to Stay? I mean, even though Jason Aldean sucks, like, it's a great song. Santa Can't You Hear Me with Ariana Grande. It's a really good duet. So I definitely would not want her to be like the, like, I don't know, what's an artist that, like, I don't know why this artist came to mind. Like, BB Rexha. I don't know why she came to mind first, but I feel like every song that she has is like a collaboration with some DJ or some other artist.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want that. But I really would like her to like experiment a bit more with other kinds of artists. Like a lead singer of a rock band, maybe a full rock band, maybe like a Lucius or like a Brandi Carlile or something like that. Because I think there's a lot of potential for it to get really, for it to be good, for like any sort of duets to really like take off. But I just don't think a lot of them have had like the right song choice.
I think it's another thing too that I don't necessarily love is duets with artists that are very different from her. I like it when she duets with people who complement her voice. And again, maybe that's why I like the Vince Gill duet / quote unquote duet, because he doesn't overpower the song. He's there, you hear him, but he's not overtaking the song like a Jason Aldean or a Jake Hoot or a John Legend. I also love The Sun Will Rise with Kara DioGuardi. We never think of that song, especially as a duet.
Yeah.
Because it's credited as with Kara DioGuardi, right?
On the CD, I believe it is, but on streaming, it's not.
Yeah. So you almost forget that she's there, but I love that particular song because I think Kara's voice complements Kelly very much.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of us were talking about the duet with Jesse Collins in Vegas. Oh, and I think one of the reasons why it was so good is because their voices complement each other so well. They mesh so well together. And I don't know, maybe apparently I'm starting to sound like I have a thing against Kelly duetting with men just because it is so, I mean, honestly, because they are so different in sound. But I love it when an artist compliments Kelly and meshes well with her, and not like, here's the man singing, here's the woman singing. Like, you can tell there's a clear difference between each one.
Yeah.
For me, that's a little played out. It's a little boring. It's not exciting for me. And plus, we saw it with a recent Kellyoke this season. It was Lighthouse from Chemistry when Jesse has to sort of take over Kelly's part for a second. Kelly comes in, kind of does the background vocal, and then they have to switch back off, and Jesse goes back to the background and Kelly comes out front. That is incredible to my ears. I love that. And I saw a lot of people talking about how incredible that was, that they could just slip into each other's roles so easily. Give me those duets all day. I love that.
Interesting. Very interesting. Love to hear everyone's thoughts on duets in general for Kelly. Because I feel like they really are just all across the board.
And like I said, you know, in the past, I've been an advocate for a duets album. If you were to ask me today, I would say no. Because just that's how I'm feeling about it today. I'm just not in a duets album mood for Kelly Clarkson. But ask me tomorrow, I might be more amiable to it.
Yeah. All right. We have one more.
Okay.
It's a Casey confession. It's really funny. I would chew the gum from her mouth. Wow. Wow. I don't even know what to say. I mean, ew, but same? I don't know. I don't know. What do you say to that?
Wow.
I've never had this thought before.
No, neither have I. It's... normally I have a few minutes to give this some thought about what I actually feel about it. I don't know if,
Yeah, I said, ew, but sure. Yeah.
But then again, like, I have friends who I would chew the gum from their mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's a little strange, but, like, I think it's different, the gum, than, like, I don't know.
Okay, so I can't remember. I think I have brought up this story on the podcast before, but, and I just want to say, this is a sort of a different scenario. Would you drink out of the same bottle from her?
Absolutely. Unless I knew that she was, like, very sick. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I tell this story sometimes, and I think I've told it on the podcast, where I went to see Fiona Apple in concert. And at one point, she had a bottle of water. She took a few drinks of it, and then she threw it into the crowd. I happened to catch it. And the first thing I thought to do was drink the rest of the water.
Oh, my God.
So I can tell everybody. Yeah, maybe I haven't told this on the podcast. This was, I mean, this was like years ago when she was kind of at like the height of like her first record was out and she was massive. But I tell people all the time, I'm like, yeah, Fiona Apple and I shared a bottle of water together. My lips touched right where her lips touched. And I relished as a fan of hers. I relished in that. And I ate off of that story for years.
Oh my God.
Of my friends were like, oh my God, that's so weird. That's so gross. I'm like, how's it gross? It's like you're sitting there telling me like, and like some of my like guy friends specifically, I'll specifically talk about them. They were like, I would say, would you kiss Fiona Apple?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't drink out of the same water bottle? Like it's, I mean, honestly, it's kind of the same thing.
Literally, that's no different from literally just like making out with someone at a bar. It's literally, there's no difference except this person is like, you know who they are. They're famous.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
And you are hydrating at the same time.
Exactly. I was doing good for my body, and I felt like I was having this like connection with the artist.
Oh my God. I hope this doesn't make us look weird.
Pam, we are like 160 plus episodes in. We've had plenty of opportunities to look weird.
That's true. I just want to preface by like, this is not like a goal that I aspire to do.
No.
No.
We're not going up to Kelly asking for her gum.
Oh my God. This is, I don't think you'll understand this because I think this was after your time of being a child. However, if anyone is around my age and has watched Hey Arnold, I'm thinking of Helga. She has like the big statue in the back of her closet of Arnold all in bubblegum. That's what I'm thinking of right now. If you know, you know. It's ridiculous. All right. On that note, I think we're about done with this.
I think we are done.
We still didn't get to all of these, so maybe like after the new year, we'll do eventually like a part three, and we can also like get new people to submit some stuff.
Yes,
this could be like an ongoing series, I guess.
It could, yes, because we've been wanting to do a hot takes episode for a long time, and we were not expecting the reaction and response that we got. So there is so much more content here. I mean, there's a lot of similar hot takes and a lot of contrasting hot takes. I mean, for every like, you know, I hate Beautiful Disaster, there's another one that says I love Beautiful Disaster. So there's some that we, you know, obviously left out for reasons. But yeah, you guys have definite opinions and we love to see them.
I love that. So as always, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube at Miss Into Podcast. If you listen on the Spotify app, please consider leaving us a rating and you can comment on individual episodes. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving us a rating and review. We'll be back next week with another episode. I don't know what the topic is off the top of my head, but we'll be there. And we hope you are there as well. And enjoy the rest of your week. Bye, guys.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to Miss Into Podcast. Miss Into Podcast was written and produced by Jeremy and Pam. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you'll be the first to know when a new podcast is posted. Find us and continue the conversation at Miss Into Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Find more at missintopodcast.com.